right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Woke Money. It is your girl, Miss Cat. Look, I forgot who I was and where I was at real quick. Hold on, hold on. We here. Okay, let's try this again. Again, it is your girl, Miss Cat. I am the founder of the Woke Money Movement. We are your cash flow connection. We are here with another great guest here on the Woken Business Podcast. We good?
We're good.
Okay. We rolling. All right. So first things first, as per usual, we want to pay homage to the Woke Money Wine. It is all natural, gluten-free, vegan, right? And fortified. So that means it's 17%. You going to sip with me today?
I'll sip with
you. All right. Let's sip today. So as per our custom, I'm going to pour you some of this great liquid gold.
So that's 17%?
Liquid gold, that's what I like to call it. I'm gonna pour some of this. So while I pour, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hey, everybody, thanks for having me, Kat. On Walking Business. My name is Damian Jadon Walker, and just happy to be here, happy to see the movement live and in action.
Well, we are happy to have you. So, before it look, I can't even say it. Look,
I thought I was time to go.
Go ahead. I was gonna say before we get started, go ahead and take a sip.
Okay.
And in real time, I like to know what you think about my liquid gold.
Smooth.
Okay.
Got a little bit, like it linger a little bit. Yeah, 17%.
That's that 17% of your growth. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for taking our time to come kick it with me tonight. I know we have a lot to talk about because you do a lot. Like you're so humble. You're like, oh, I'm Damian. You know, what is it that you do? Like, he is the man. And I hate when they come on here and just try to act like, oh, I'm just Damian. Like, what is it that you do?
I think that I'm a servant, first of all.
I love it.
I just had the opportunity. I always thought out. I think my story starts. I was arrested at 16, incarcerated for 17 years, and just kind of worked my way through to where I'm at now. You know, I had some great mentors, great people to believe in me and really see that I had some gifts inside of me that I just didn't understand because I didn't come up naturally, I guess. You know, I came up, you know, surviving and just trying to make sure I made it out of situations, you know. And then when I had opportunity, and I was released in 2010, went to the University of Houston, graduated, sold cars, bought a house, traveled to Costa Rica on parole, got off parole, got a nonprofit job that was four times less than what I was making selling cars, but just felt that I can serve, you know, and got into the nonprofit work, and it's just been a great path since then in like this service realm, you know, working with the community.
I got you. So speaking of, you know, working in the community, what programs or what is it that you like focus on?
I ended up starting a nonprofit called Cognitive Justice International. And how that begun was I was in Toastmasters while I was in prison. And so when I was at the halfway house, after I was released, because my parents had passed away, my grandma had passed away, so I had to go to a halfway house because I just didn't have family, you know, like that I had at that time. I was going to a program, and they asked me to create a program to help the guys that did 10 or more years, help them with their communication. So I developed a program called Understanding Positive Communication, and it was for the men and women that had been incarcerated more than 10 or more years, and that was 2011. And man, I got paid for it in 2021, maybe.
Wow.
22. I think that was my first time ever getting a check. I had been teaching it for free.
Wow.
Yeah, and developed some more programs, some advocacy programs. So that's basically what Cognitive Justice is. We like to train agencies that work with underserved communities, and we also train underserved communities. The biggest entity that I've ever trained is the Louisiana Supreme Court and the Louisiana Fiends, Families in Need of Service. So basically a bunch of current, retired, like police chiefs, wardens, principals, and stuff like that.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So do you find, you know, being in those circumstances, like when you're dealing with, you know, offenders and things of that nature. Because we had a guest, and you know, Mr. Benny Price, he came, and he was just saying how, like, he believes that the lack of financial literacy is like the missing piece, you know, to some of these issues. And just like, do you find that, like, can you speak to that, like, in your line, you know, just being out there in the community?
Yeah, without a doubt. But you also have to identify at what point, right? So me, I was 16. I was a kid when I went to prison, right? So coming home, those individuals that were my mentors in prison would talk about money, right? And then you had people to come in and talk about money. And so I was telling my wife on the way over here, at one point I had refinanced the car when I was selling cars. But the people that taught me about refinancing were my managers at the car dealership.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a class or anything like that, right? So I refinanced my car. My car was $96 a month. But that's because somebody told me to pay extra on the car note.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
It was those little things. Like, I got nuggets throughout. I never had classes per se, right?
Gotcha.
So it just depends on where you're at. Like, I was coming out of prison. We have people that are coming back to their senses. They've been out in the streets and they just mm-hmm. like, man, I want change. But how do I go from really messing off my credit and owing all this back child support to that? So you really have to find out where that person is. But financial literacy is, I think it's a superpower for those that are actually teaching it, man, because that's one of the biggest issues that we have. And we don't believe in ourselves if we don't have money.
That's true. That's very true. So, you know, what do you think, in your opinion, you know, just being out there, because you see it in different facets, but like, I know that, like, with woke money, I won't say struggle. Struggle is a strong word, but it's a fight, like, to try to get people to be engaged, to, you know, to get what we're given. Like, sometimes we host free workshops. We're doing, you know what I'm saying? And we know that it's a need. We know that everybody needs it in some capacity. But for some reason, sometimes it just don't feel like they want it. You know what I'm saying? So do you find that maybe if it's given in a certain way, or like, just what do you, like, in your line of work, or just being out there in the community, like, what do you see as far as the need, and how, like, as for, like, people like Woke Money and entities like that, how can we help bridge those gaps?
I think you get financial literacy at a certain point in a person's reintegration, either back into society or back into normal senses. Because at one point they may be hungry, so they're not dealing with that. That's their social determinant of health. Like, they're hungry at that time, or they're unhoused. So you have to find out where you fit at in that line of coming back to that senses. Now, I just keep saying that because, like, the prodigal son coming back, right?
Yeah.
So financial support is going to be important at a certain time after they get their house. Their housing.
Gotcha.
After they make sure they get consistent food. You know, after they make sure that their kids are in school and got all their documents and stuff. Now, that's the extreme. When you're coming and you're going to maybe a reentry program, or you're going to whatever program that you're dealing with, maybe battered women shelters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to find out where you fit in, where woke money or financial literacy fits in that process.
Gotcha.
Because it's just so many different processes. However, what I do know is that it has to be in the process.
Got it.
It has to be enough.
Yes. And that's a great point that you make, because I think last week or the week before, we was talking about being in survival mode, you know, and the thing is I believe that if you're in survival mode, you can't, like, I don't want to think about budgeting. I don't want to think about saving. Like, I'm trying to save my life. Like, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I understand what you mean. Like, you know, you got to meet people where they are. And we just had the young ladies that just left, and they were saying how sometimes you might not be ready, you know, at that moment. So I think, like you said, like, where are they assessing, you know, the situation, you know, and like really taking them for where they are? Because some people just might not be in the mental capacity yeah. to actually be able to receive. You could be trying to hook them up with $1 million, but if yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. but if they trying to save their life, right? You know, so I totally get it. So what else are you working on in the community? Because I know you're connected with a lot of things and a lot of people. So what else programs or just things that you have going on?
So I was a community. I don't even remember my position. Basically, I was helping people understand that there are alternatives to violence for Harris County, the same county that I was convicted and pled guilty in, right? And so I had worked for two county organizations, and the last one was working on community violence intervention, going to some of the at-risk communities in Houston and Harris County and talking about alternatives to gun violence. So basically dealing with those that are going to either shoot somebody or assault somebody, or those that actually get shot or assaulted.
Gotcha.
And being able to teach them to work through those situations. And if they can't work through those situations, I had a team at the time that they would allow us to come in and intervene in ways that we could, you know, talk to them, talk to the people that we're at odds with, you know, and see, can we stop a shooting, you know, because one shooting, statistics say, one shooting actually leads to four other shootings because of retaliation.
For sure.
And those shootings cost the city sometimes upwards of, if they go on a trial, $500,000 to possibly $1 million.
Wow. Wow.
So you're actually saving the city money, but you're actually saving the community too.
For sure. Well, and that's why, like, I'm just like, man, like, there's heroes among us, right? That, you know, that you guys don't wear capes and, you know, whatever, but just like putting yourself in the line of fire to de-escalate, literally, you know,
yeah,
and again, this ain't like, yeah. like, girl, like put that gun down. Like, you know, you're like, no, brother, put that gun down. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I just salute you for the work that you're doing, the efforts that you're putting in. And, you know, just changing lives, you know, one person at a time. And so if we like want to support or be, you know, be more in the loop of how we can help, is there anything as like us as a community that we can do to, you know, to participate or help in these efforts?
I would say begin to just come back to community, like see what your community needs. I'm one person, and I love the aspect of being able to address violence in the community, because what I figured out is that's where a lot of our root causes live at, you know, hunger and housing and anger issues and historical trauma, right? So I've been training some of those things, but the community hasn't.
Gotcha.
So this weekend I was able to teach a class, and they asked what could they do. And I said, well, I learned through education. My grandma was the first Black principal on the white side of town in San Antonio. And my grandpa was the first ever ROTC professor at UTSA. So my family are educators. And so a lady asked me that, and I kind of just went through that process of explaining to her whatever your skill set is, you know, because mm-hmm. she was retired. And whatever your skill set is, and I say, but we need educators.
Mm.
So if you are financial literacy, you come and you educate. If you're construction, you come and you educate and you just give them your skill set. And as I went through that process, I said, okay, well, what did you do? Well, I was a teacher. I said, well, you come on in. You know,
come
right?
on in, the water is fine.
Yeah, so just try to use your skill set. You know, you don't have to find a lot of stuff, but then allow the community sometimes to tell you, man, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just get back to community, get out there and just try to support as best as you can.
Yes. And so speaking of community, look, I don't have much skill set. Look, but what I know how to do is put things together, put people together. Right. So Woke Money is, you know, what we call the cash flow connection, where, you know, we're connecting these dots. We're bridging the gaps. We're putting these resources all in one place. So we are hosting the Woke Money Conference on June 8th. It's going down. This is one of those situations, like, no matter where you are in your financial journey, you know, you want to be in the building, right? So we've been talking about it. We've been putting that work. So what can they look forward to? Because we plan to have advocacy. Yeah. So this year at the conference, for those that don't know, We will have an advocacy hour where we'll be bringing in, you know, the coalition. We'll be bringing in all different, you know, advocacy resources, because, again, some of us just don't know. We want to support, but we don't know what to do, how to help. So we need to be more aware. So we're bringing you in. So what can, you know, for those that are watching, listening, what can they look forward to, you know, with y'all coming in on that advocacy hour of power? Like, what would y'all be talking about?
We're going to talk about community violence intervention, ways to offer alternatives to violence, being able to help the community. But I actually think that I want to also bring in some people who survive violence, some families, right? Some families who have actually survived violence, and how they overcame. Because one thing that we often forget the victims. We always support the individuals coming out of incarceration. That's very important too, because they're coming back to society. But let's not forget the mothers that lost their sons and their daughters, and the daddies and the little sisters and brothers that lost their big brothers and sisters. I think that's very important. So we want to make sure that we fill the ecosystem with the holistic approach, as everybody been saying the last 4 or 5 years, right? This holistic approach, what does that actually mean? That means, you know, how do we help each other heal as best as possible?
Yes.
It's not my task, it's not my goal to be able to heal you, but how can I assist you? Who can I connect you to?
For sure.
That's actually going to walk with you throughout that process. So I think that I want to do some educating, but I also want people to see real life examples of not only what it means for a family, family to be actually hurt, but a family to go through their healing process as well.
Man. So for those that like have been debating, like, man, do I want to come to this conference? You know, like, I'm just like, man, if you ain't listening to this and you not thinking like, man, I need to be in the building, something wrong.
Yeah, it's a debate. If they debate, it's a debate that they'll lose, you know, and people don't like losing, especially when they know they're going to lose.
For sure.
Y'all going to lose, so go on, get your ticket.
For sure, because we got so much, just so much that we're bringing to the table. Some great things that, like, I just, words can't even express, you know, what they can look forward to. So, I, again, appreciate you coming through, just giving us more awareness, you know, some tips on, you know, what we can do, you know. So like you said, reach one, teach one. If you got a skill, like, pour it back into the community in some capacity. Exactly. Right. So I appreciate that. So if we want to stay connected with you, I know that you have different classes, different, you know, advocacy things coming up. How do we stay connected with you?
I'm always give out my number, but also cognitivejusticeintl.org. So cognitivejusticeintl.org, 713-499-9372. We can get directly to it. And then what else? So Instagram is Cognitive Justice INTL and Facebook is Cognitive Justice INTL as well.
Awesome. So guys, you guys heard it here first on the Woke in Business podcast. We are bringing like everything that you need from, you know, like you said, the holistic side, come get your bag, come get your budget, come get your, you know, come invest. I mean, there's going to be so many different elements that you guys don't want to miss. So make sure that you guys stay tapped in to Woke Money. Is there any final things, any last minute thoughts that you want to let the people know?
Man, don't complain. Like if you're not a part of it, you know, it's coming. You have a young lady, Miss Cat, that's really doing her best, man, to incorporate community. So don't complain if you miss out, right? You know, you can catch it on an episode, like a rerun or something. But, you know, you have the opportunity to be there live, man. It's like going to Astroworld. You know, Astroworld right across the street. It's like going to Astroworld back in the game, and they still talking about them concerts from the 80s. Man, this is that same thing. You know, this is going to be something epic. This is community actually coming together, and this is what a lot of people say that they want.
For sure.
So spend your money, sponsor somebody, come there, but spend your money.
For sure.
Spend your money. We ain't talking nothing else. Spend your money.
Well, look, I think that's a good way to end. Spend your money. No, just wait. But nonetheless, I do appreciate that, because this will be one of those events that will go down in history. It will be one of them circumstances like, man, I should have been there. Like I say, yeah, exactly. So don't be the shoulda, coulda, woulda. Don't be that person. Make sure that you get your tickets and come see us. Again, if you want to follow us, if you're new to this platform, if this is the first time that you've tuned into the podcast, we're here every single Monday at 8:30 on GMT Radio. Shout out to Fluent TV. Shout out to Ryan. We do this every single week. But again, we are your cash flow connection. We're trying to help you, you know, get plugged in, get to the resources that you need. So make sure that you tune in to tap into wokemoney.org to get more information on the conference, to watch some prior episodes. If you missed the podcast and you want to see some of our prior episodes, but just make sure that you stay following us. Tap the like button at Woke Money Movement and stay connected, because we're going to keep bringing you this heat week after week. All right.
All right.
Well, y'all be blessed. We will see you guys next week. And thank you so much for tuning in.